Maya, I've been digging through this massive dataset on AI adoption in universities, and what's jumping out at me isn't what I expected at all. It's not about the technology itself. It's about this fundamental clash between how quickly students are adapting versus how institutions are responding.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. When I was teaching, we'd always see students running ahead with whatever new tool they discovered while we were still filling out forms to get basic software approved.
Can I jump in here? Because I'm living this right now in my computer science program. Half my professors are embracing AI tools for everything from debugging to essay feedback, and the other half are threatening to fail us if they even suspect we've used ChatGPT.
That's exactly what the data is showing. This study on AI tutoring that just came out, it actually outperformed traditional in-class active learning methods. But here's the kicker. Most institutions don't even have policies in place yet for how to integrate these tools.
As someone trying to craft those policies, let me tell you, it's like trying to build a bridge while people are already crossing the river. We had a faculty senate meeting last week where one professor demonstrated how ChatGPT solved accounting assessment questions better than most students, and another professor stood up and called it the death of critical thinking.
But isn't that always how it goes with new technology in education? I remember when calculators were going to destroy mathematics education, then Wikipedia was going to end research skills.
True, but this feels different. The speed of adoption is unprecedented. This research on massive open online courses shows students aren't just using AI assistants, they're expecting them. They're disappointed when courses don't have intelligent tutoring systems.
Absolutely. In my algorithms class, we started using an AI tutor for practice problems. And honestly, it's better than office hours sometimes. It's available at 2 a.m. when I'm actually studying, and it never makes me feel stupid for asking the same question 3 different ways.
That availability factor is huge. We're seeing it in our retention data. Students who have access to AI tutoring tools are staying in challenging courses at higher rates.
But here's what worries me. When I taught in Latin America, we already had such disparities in resources. Now I'm seeing this AI divide opening up. The well-funded universities are racing ahead while community colleges and smaller institutions can't even afford the licensing fees.
The data backs that up completely. There's this fascinating pattern where research universities are experimenting with cutting-edge AI implementation while community colleges, which arguably serve students who could benefit most from personalized tutoring, are being left behind.
It's creating weird situations too. I have friends at state schools who are basically teaching themselves prompt engineering because their professors don't understand the tools, while my AI ethics professor here is 3 steps ahead of industry practitioners.
We're trying to address this systematically, but the challenge is that every department wants something different. The business school wants students fluent in AI for financial modeling. The English department is terrified about essay authenticity. And the computer science department is redesigning their entire curriculum around it.
This reminds me of when I was coordinating curriculum changes at my old university. The biggest resistance always came from professors who'd been teaching the same way for decades. But now it's not just about being set in your ways, it's about fundamental questions of what learning even means.
That's what's so striking in this French research on pedagogical paradigm shifts. They're documenting how AI is forcing us to reconsider the entire purpose of higher education. If an AI can generate a perfect essay or solve complex problems, what exactly are we teaching?
My programming professor actually addressed this head on. She said, "I'm not teaching you to write code anymore. I'm teaching you to think about problems that are worth solving with code." It completely changed how I approach my coursework.
That's exactly the kind of pedagogical evolution we need to see more of, but it requires massive faculty development, and frankly, we don't have the infrastructure for it.
Or the time. When I talk to my former colleagues who are still teaching, they're already overwhelmed with their course loads. Now we're asking them to completely reimagine their teaching methods while also learning these new tools themselves.
The studies are showing that early adopters among faculty are seeing incredible results, though. This research on inclusive learning with AI chatbots found that students who might normally struggle with language barriers or learning differences were suddenly performing at the same level as their peers.
I've seen that firsthand. My roommate has ADHD, and the AI study tools have been game-changing for her. She can get concepts broken down in exactly the way her brain processes information best.
Those success stories are what keep me pushing for broader implementation, even when I'm facing resistance. We had a professor in chemistry who was completely against AI until he saw how it could provide personalized practice problems for each student based on their specific weaknesses.
But how do we ensure quality? When I was teaching, I could tell when a student truly understood something versus when they were just parroting back information. With AI in the mix, that line gets blurrier.
That's where the assessment piece becomes crucial. The research on ChatGPT answering accounting questions didn't just show it could pass tests, it revealed how outdated our testing methods are. If an AI can ace your exam, maybe you're testing the wrong things.
Some of my professors have gotten creative with this. Instead of traditional exams, we're doing live problem-solving sessions where we have to explain our reasoning. You can use any tool you want, but you have to defend your approach.
That's the kind of innovation we need to scale up, but it's resource-intensive. A multiple-choice exam can be graded automatically. These new assessment methods require significant faculty time.
Which brings us back to the equity issue. The institutions that can afford smaller class sizes and more faculty time are able to implement these innovative approaches, while others are stuck with outdated methods not by choice, but by necessity.
The data shows this is creating a new kind of digital divide in higher education. It's not just about who has access to technology anymore. It's about who has access to educators who know how to use it effectively.
And it's affecting our job prospects too. Employers in tech are starting to expect graduates to be fluent in AI tools. If your school isn't teaching that, you're already behind when you graduate.
We're seeing this in our career services data. Students from programs that have integrated AI tools are getting better internships and job offers. It's putting enormous pressure on departments to adapt quickly.
But quick adaptation in education often means surface-level changes. Real pedagogical transformation takes time, experimentation, and yes, some failure along the way.
The research supports taking that time, though. The studies showing the most successful AI integration in higher education all emphasize the importance of thoughtful implementation over speed.
Tell that to students who are graduating next year. We don't have time for institutions to figure this out slowly. We need these skills now.
That tension between student needs and institutional capacity is what keeps me up at night. We're trying to serve students while also maintaining academic integrity and ensuring quality education.
Maybe we need to rethink what quality education means in this context. When I started teaching, quality meant delivering excellent lectures and creating challenging assignments. Now, it might mean something entirely different.
The data suggests it's becoming more about facilitation than information delivery. The most effective educators in these studies aren't the ones fighting AI. They're the ones using it to enhance human connection and deeper learning.
My best classes this semester are exactly like that. The professors use AI to handle the routine stuff, grading, basic questions, practice problems, so they can spend class time on discussions and complex problem solving.
That's the model we're trying to promote, but it requires a fundamental shift in how we allocate resources and evaluate teaching effectiveness.
And how we train new educators. If we're still preparing graduate students to be sage-on-the-stage lecturers, we're setting them up for obsolescence.
The studies on faculty development are particularly interesting here. The most successful programs aren't just teaching technical skills. They're helping educators reimagine their entire role.
And some of my TAs are actually ahead of the professors on this. They grew up with technology and see AI as just another tool in their teaching toolkit.
That generational divide is real, but I'd caution against assuming younger automatically means more adaptable. Some of our most innovative AI integration is coming from senior faculty who have the pedagogical expertise to use these tools meaningfully.
That's a great point. When I think about my most effective colleagues, age wasn't the factor. It was openness to experimentation and genuine care for student learning.
The research bears that out. The key predictor of successful AI integration isn't technical skill, it's pedagogical flexibility and student-centeredness.
Which makes sense. The professors who are already innovative teachers are the ones finding creative ways to use AI. The ones who were just phoning it in before are either ignoring it or using it poorly.
We're trying to build support systems for both groups, but honestly, the resources required are staggering. Every department needs specialized training because AI implementation in literature looks nothing like AI implementation in engineering.
This feels like such a critical moment. The decisions institutions make now about AI integration will shape higher education for decades.
The data certainly suggests we're at an inflection point. Institutions that get this right could leap ahead in terms of student outcomes and satisfaction. Those that resist or implement poorly risk becoming irrelevant.
From a student perspective, we're already voting with our feet. My friends are actively choosing courses and even schools based on how well they're integrating these technologies.
Which puts enormous pressure on administrators. We're balancing student demand, faculty concerns, accreditation requirements, and budget constraints, all while the technology keeps evolving.
Maybe that's where we need to focus, on principles rather than specific tools. When I was designing curriculum, the best frameworks were flexible enough to adapt as circumstances changed.
That's exactly what the most forward-thinking research is suggesting. Instead of policies about ChatGPT specifically, institutions need frameworks for evaluating and integrating whatever comes next.
Yes, my computer science program just revised their honor code to focus on attribution and transparency rather than banning specific tools. It makes so much more sense.
We're moving in that direction too, but it's challenging to get everyone on board. Some faculty want bright line rules, not flexible frameworks.
Change is hard, especially in education where we're used to being the experts. Admitting that students might know more about certain tools than we do requires humility.
But the data shows that's exactly the mindset shift that leads to successful integration. The best outcomes come from collaborative approaches where students and faculty learn together.
My favorite class this semester embodies that. The professor straight up told us she was learning alongside us and encouraged us to share tools and techniques we discovered.
That kind of vulnerability from faculty is powerful but rare. We need to create cultures where it's safe to experiment and even fail.
Which requires institutional support. When I was teaching, the pressure to maintain high student evaluations made experimentation risky.
The research on institutional change suggests that's one of the biggest barriers. Traditional evaluation metrics don't capture innovation or successful AI integration.
Meanwhile, students are doing informal evaluations all the time. We know which professors are preparing us for the future and which are stuck in the past.
We're starting to incorporate student feedback about technology integration into our formal evaluation processes. But change in higher education moves at glacial pace.
Sometimes I wonder if we need more radical approaches. What if we designed programs from scratch with AI integration in mind, rather than trying to retrofit existing curricula?
There are a few institutions trying exactly that. The early data is promising, but it's too soon to draw definitive conclusions.
My university is piloting an AI-native computer science track next year. I'm jealous of the incoming students who'll get to experience it.
Those pilots are crucial for learning what works, but they're also expensive and risky. Not every institution can afford to experiment.
Which brings us back to equity. The rich get richer, while under-resourced institutions fall further behind.
The data on this is sobering. The gap between well-funded and poorly funded institutions in terms of AI readiness is widening rapidly.
It's not just institutional. Within my own university, some departments are light years ahead of others based on funding and faculty interest.
We're trying to address that through centralized support and training, but but departments have such different needs and cultures.
Maybe that's okay, though. When I taught biology, our needs were different from the history department. One-size-fits-all solutions rarely work in education.
The research supports that. The most successful implementations are highly contextualized to specific disciplines and student populations.
As long as all students have access to some form of AI-enhanced learning, it shouldn't matter what your major is. These are becoming essential skills.
Agreed. We're working on universal digital literacy requirements that include AI tools, but again, implementation is complex.
The pace of change is what makes this so challenging. By the time we implement something, the technology has evolved again.
Which is why the focus on principles and frameworks, rather than specific tools, is so important. The studies showing long-term success all emphasize adaptability over mastery of current technology.
That makes sense intellectually, but as a student, I also need practical skills for the job market right now.
That tension between immediate needs and long-term preparation is one of the fundamental challenges in higher education, made more acute by rapid technological change.
We've always had to balance theory and practice, but AI is forcing us to reconsider where that balance should be.
The data suggests the most successful approaches integrate both, using AI tools to teach deeper concepts while also ensuring technical proficiency.
When it works, it's amazing. But when there's a mismatch between what we're learning and what employers expect, it's frustrating.
We're working more closely with industry partners to understand their needs, but even they're figuring this out in real time.
Everyone's learning together. Maybe that's not a bad thing? When I think about preparing students for an uncertain future, adaptability matters more than specific knowledge.
That's the hopeful note in all this data. Yes, there are challenges and inequities, but there's also incredible potential for transformation in how we teach and learn.